one of the people, like the mentors in my head that I always look to is Madam C.J. Walker. Mm-hmm. She's the first woman millionaire in America, and she was a black woman.
Yeah.
Okay. She was the youngest in her family. She was the only one that was not born into slavery. And in that environment, she built a business and became a millionaire. And she charged for her services. But if she wouldn't have bet on herself on day one, mm-hmm. it wouldn't have happened. She did not have the internet. She did not have this podcast. She did not have all of these things that we now have. Like, there are no excuses left, my friends. Just get out there and do it, or don't. Like, shit or get off the pot is my advice.
You know, they say women shouldn't be bossy.
We're out here reclaiming that word. What's so wrong with being the boss?
Bossy. Welcome back to this week's episode of Bossy. We are talking about confidence and courage as an entrepreneur today. And if you're watching us on Spotify or YouTube, you know that we have a very special guest in the studio with us. Our first in-studio guest, actually, yes. Rachel Rogers.
Yeah. Yay. Rachel, thank you so much for coming. So Rachel is a mom. She's an author. She's a CEO. She's a company that is an eight-figure company.
Mm-hmm.
Eight figures.
Yeah. Eight feels like figures. You got to say that a few times.
You have to say it a certain kind of way. Like, it's an eight figure. Called Hello 7, and she really helps women, particularly in marginalized communities, women of color, grow their wealth. And so Rachel has a book, We Should All Be Millionaires.
Yes.
And it really, like, helps kind of talk about, like, systemic issues, racism, sexism, internalized beliefs, all these things that kind of, like, get in the way for women in particular of having millionaire mindsets.
Yes.
And I'm really excited to talk to you today because we're talking about confidence.
Yes.
And you are one of the most confident people that I know.
Thank you.
And so I'm really curious to tell you. So, okay, I had someone recently send me an email and they were like, I'm really nervous about like launching my app and like I'm just not feeling like 100% confident yet.
Yes.
And I kind of laughed at it a little bit in a way, not like laughing at them, but like, oh, like that confidence is not the requirement to get started. Like,
no.
I can't tell you the last thing I started and I didn't feel confident about it yet. Like, that's how it works.
Yes.
Mm. And so I want to start off by just like hearing your response to someone saying like, oh, like I want to start a thing, but I just don't feel confident yet.
Yeah. It's like, who told you that was part of the recipe? They lied. What? There's not a single thing that I've ever launched in my life with 100% confidence,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
There's always some doubt and some worry. But yes, I don't think confidence is an ingredient to success in entrepreneurship or really anything. I think it's about courage. Courage is actually matters so much more. So I always say courage over confidence.
Courage.
Because I think confidence is something you get from experience.
Yeah.
So you can't just manufacture it. Like, people are like, I'm just going to conjure it up. No.
Yeah,
you don't conjure.
I'm going to do a spell.
Exactly. You're just faking it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're basically lying. So you don't actually have to have confidence. You just have to have the courage to do it, even though you don't have the confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So you said, like, I don't always have 100% confidence.
Yes.
Do you always have 100% courage?
Ooh. I wouldn't say I always have 100% courage, no.
What percent we talking is usually?
The percentage that allows you to actually just do it and put it out there. It's kind of like, you know how you don't have to have the courage to, like, finish the thing, complete the thing, do the whole thing. It's like you have to have the courage to take the first step. So, like, even if I'm doing a keynote, it's like, what's my first line? What's my opening? And I practice that a bunch. And then I'm like, okay, I know what I'm going to come out here and say.
Mm.
So I have confidence in my opening, and then I trust, like, the rest of the way will come. So it's like, do you have confidence to take the first step? Do you have confidence to just launch the thing, to put it out there, to say the first sentence?
Yeah.
Right? Just have enough confidence for that part.
Yeah.
And then the rest, it's like, then you've put it in motion. So
yeah.
Things will start happening. And then after that, you got to just trust yourself that you're going to know what to say or know what to do in the next moment after that.
And that's a muscle that you build, right? Like, that's something that the confidence is the byproduct of the reps of doing that.
Yes. Exactly. Correct. So it's like, okay, I didn't fall apart. I've launched things before. I've put things out there before. I've said bold statements before. And I'm still here. So if that's the case, clearly, right, I can make it to the next thing. And the next thing is going to be okay. Because what we do is catastrophize in our head. And we're like, all of these horrible things are going to happen if I say the thing, if I launch the thing, if I put myself out there in this way.
Yeah.
And it's like, none of that's going to happen. Maybe some things will happen. Maybe not everything good will happen. Some bad things might happen. But like this drama driven version that it's like, that's not, that only happens on soap operas.
It's, you know what I mean? So funny that you say that. Because last night I posted a video that I was feeling a little bit iffy about, because you know when you like, you know you're about to say something that like 20% of people are going to disagree with and get upset about and want to like...
20%, that's it?
Talk about it in the comments.
Yeah.
And I always get this very, the only way I can describe it is this like overexposed vulnerability feeling where it feels like anxiety in my chest where I'm like, okay, I'm like afraid to look almost at what people are saying.
Yes.
But even that, the reps of doing that over and over again, it gets a little bit easier every single time because that exact outcome of like, I'm not going to let an app on my phone bully me.
Exactly.
I just turn it off.
Hello.
It's fine. And guess what? Everything's fine. Nothing happens.
Fine.
There's not, I mean, like the realizing that that catastrophic outcome or even fear setting around putting words around like what is the worst case scenario and then sitting there and being like, oh yeah, like lion's not chasing me. I'm good.
Yes.
Yeah. I had to do that when we started this podcast. I called Katie and I was like, I'm feeling a little nervous. I think we had already recorded like a first couple of episodes and we hadn't put it out yet. And I was feeling nervous about like, what are people going to say? Like I was feeling a little like not confident, not courageous about it, which I think surprised Katie. Because she was like, oh, this energy coming from you. I didn't know that. Yeah, I definitely have that. What is that book? That's like the like 10,000 reps of doing something he referenced.
10,000 hours. It's the Malcolm Gladwell Outliers book.
Outliers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's like,
it's like you're best in your field. You're best in class. Like all of these people have spent so much time in their craft to get to that point.
Yes. And what we do is we compare our beginner status to somebody who's got 10 years of experience and 10,000 reps in. And it's like, dude, bring it down a notch.
Yeah.
Just start, be messy, be whack, right? Like, be okay with just being even terrible so that you can get started and figure out, okay, here's how I get better.
There's this phrase I love, which is like, don't compare your beginning to someone else's middle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm wondering if the 10,000 hours concept applies to confidence. Like, we talk about it, or like Malcolm Gladwell talks about it, to be successful, to be good at something. But just because you're good at something doesn't mean that you feel confident every single time you do it. And so I'm wondering, like, do you guys think 10,000 hours or some number of hours gets you to consistently confident? Or are you just like, it doesn't necessarily happen that confidence builds after a bunch of reps?
That's a great question. I think the reps actually help you to feel confident in your ability to produce an outcome.
Yeah.
For example, you know, so like speaking or coaching or whatever. It's like things that I have a lot of experience in. I feel confident in my ability to do that as a professional. But it doesn't mean that I'm like, nervous, right?
Yeah.
In certain things. Like I just gave a keynote 2 weeks ago that I was like, I had practiced it. I wrote it. I had like, I knew what I wanted to say. And it was actually somewhat controversial, which is probably why I was a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
And I still had nerves going onto the stage. And I've talked to, you know, I used to practice law. So I have a lot of friends and know a lot of people who are trial lawyers. And they still would be nervous the first day of trial, right? Like when they're going to get out there in front of the judge, in front of a jury, in front of their client, in front of, you know, people in the audience and make a case, right? Like they still have nerves. I think that's a normal thing. I don't know that so many reps takes away nerves. It just means that you know you're going to get past that point and it's not stopping you.
Yeah.
But it's still there, you know?
Yeah. I think I've heard it said that anxiety and excitement feel the same way in the body.
Yes.
So what you don't want to do is feel anxious and go, no, you're not. No, you're not. Calm down. It's fine. It's fine. What you want to do is go, I'm excited, and start relabeling that emotion.
Yeah.
And I think that that actually helps me quite a bit, is like trying to almost paper over it and go, no, like, let's just redirect that a little bit. It's okay that you're feeling kind of elevated or like stimulated by this. That means you care. That's a good thing.
Thank you for saying that, because I've heard that before, but I needed to hear it again.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Like where I am right now. So thank you for that.
You're excited.
I think for me, the 10,000 hours, like there's probably some things I got 10,000 hours in at this point. I think it maybe doesn't make me just like default more courageous or confident, but there's maybe two little areas where I now now have that courage and confidence that I can then like take that and spread it. So in general, I'm pretty confident that I will figure something out.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've had enough reps where like, I'll figure something, you're going to figure something out.
Yeah.
And also that I'm going to bring like a certain level of like swag and my energy to it.
Yes.
Those are probably like the only things that I feel confident about, but I can like take those and be like, okay, like I feel kind of like some safety in it and enough to like take the step.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so good. I feel like when we are lacking confidence and we're like, I can't do the thing without the confidence, I feel like it's coming from a place of I want to control. You know what I mean? Like what you just said about anxiety as well. And like you saying, I needed to hear that again. It's like, we just can't just go with the flow. Like if you're feeling anxiousness or you're feeling fear, it's like, cool. So it's like somebody would be like, I'm scared. Great. Right. Like that doesn't, there's no action that is required after feeling scared. You just are scared for a moment.
Yeah.
And like, okay, great. You're scared. Let's acknowledge that feeling. Now go do the thing.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, just learn to ride the wave and stop trying to control everything. Because I think that's actually what gets us into like this place of like frozen and fear is like, we can't control people's response, right? We can't control what people are going to say about us. We can't control whether it's going to go exactly how we planned it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We can't control if we trip. I'm just waiting for the moment where I trip on stage because I know it's coming. And like, I'm prepared.
When you do, you're going to get up and go, oh, and the world's still spinning.
Yes.
And I'm still going to deliver. And I'm still going to stick
I'm actually going to crack a great joke about it.
Yeah.
Right? Laugh with the audience and then be like, okay, now back to what I was saying.
You know? I've been using this little motto for myself, which I think like kind of captures the season of life that I feel like I'm in right now. And it's like, I'm okay, go with the flow.
Yes.
I'm okay, go with the flow. That's my line.
I love
right
that.
Now. So like when I start feeling like anxious or like not, like I don't have enough courage to do a thing, if I start saying that to myself, for some reason that really worked for me. I'm okay, go with the flow.
Yes.
Three times and I kind of like calm myself down enough to move.
Yes.
Rachel, you mentioned this keynote that you were a little bit nervous about because you felt like it was controversial. I'm curious if there has been a product or service in the past that you can think of that you launched and you were feeling like, I'm not sure about this.
Yeah.
And I did it anyway.
Yeah. Literally every product or service that I've ever put out there in the world.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I'm like, there is absolutely nothing that I've ever put out there that I'm like, this is it. And it's going to be amazing.
I mean, and you have an 8-figure business. So I like to connect those dots explicitly, right?
Yeah.
Of like, has never been 100% sure. Let's count the zeros. Like,
yes.
That is amazing.
Exactly. Because the zeros come from action.
Yeah.
They don't come from being 100% confident. I've never seen somebody make money just from being confident. You know what I mean?
You're so right. Because I feel like the people who just have confidence, they just like sit there and do nothing and are like super confident about it. And you're like, what are you confident? You're not
exactly
doing anything.
We all know people who are confident who you're like, but you got anything to back that up? Because I don't see any evidence of said confidence. I'm glad you feel good, but like, what else you got? You
know? One other piece of this too that I think is really interesting that has stuck with me. Someone told me once that you should think about those moments where you do not feel confident as positive feedback that you are stretching your own capacity.
Yeah.
Like, actually, the opposite is true, that if you feel 100% certain in everything you're doing, that is actually a sign something is wrong because you are way too in the comfort zone. Like, you are not growing.
Exactly right. And what follows that is boredom.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get bored. Because whenever I felt that and I'm like, I'm 100% confident in at least like this work I'm doing or whatever, or even if I'm not 100, I just feel confident in it and I'm not, there's no stretching. There's no worry. There's no fear. I'm bored. And then I'm going to be like, okay, how can I tear this down and stop being in this place of boredom? Because I hate just sitting around being bored.
Yeah, that's a good actually framing for people, particularly if you're like a high achiever like we are and you're like working on things. The kind of the question of like, would you rather be bored? I know you're not feeling courageous, but would you rather be?
Exactly.
And actually for me, I would not rather be bored.
No.
Bored is not good. So like, I totally get that. So you have, I've seen you do this process of courageously going after goals and projects. And it blows my mind. Like, you're actually one of my like top inspiring people in my life.
Wow, thank you.
When it comes to like how you approach like going after things. And I kind of want to like, maybe you can tell us about like a goal that you've had and like just kind of the thought process about like how, whether the goal happened or not, because I think that part is irrelevant.
Yeah.
how you went through the, like, okay, I'm going to start it. Here's the next step. Like, I want people to hear some of this process. Can you think of something, maybe kind of break this down for us?
Yes. Well, I mean, a goal that I have right now is I want to grow my company to 100 million.
Got it.
So I'm in process on that.
Yeah.
And like, we make progress and there's setbacks, but it's like, it don't change the goal. Like, that's the goal. And we're just going to keep marching towards it. And that meant that the way I was building my company from day one was different than what other entrepreneurs were doing. Because, you know, I was building this business in the age of the lifestyle entrepreneur, right? So it's kind of like, lay on an island with your laptop. And I'm like, I don't know if y'all have ever been to the beach with a laptop. It's really not that fun. Just enjoy the beach and put the laptop away. Like, there, what is this?
Yeah.
I feel like the internet is just full of crap sometimes. And you're just like, please stop
it. I don't know if you've
this
ever...
is actually not fun.
Let's call this laptop.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, the actual aspirational piece of this is not being in a place where you have to bring the laptop to the beach. To get to go to the beach without having to
work. Yes, that's the real flex.
That's the goal.
Yes, the real flex is you're laying on the beach chilling and enjoying yourself.
Yeah, yeah, man. Anyway. Oh my gosh.
Anyway, so that's what the image that was always expressed when I started building my business. And I became an entrepreneur in 2010. I was explaining to them, I'm like, I'm a geriatric millennial, y'all. So I'm like the oldest of the millennials. So I'm starting to feel that now. I'm like, oh, I'm older than a lot of people. This is weird.
Yeah.
I used to always feel like the youngest. Anyway, so that meant that as I was building my business, I always was like, I'm building systems, I'm building process, I'm building a team. And I was spending a lot of my revenue on team. And when other people were like, I'm just going to enjoy all my profits and like swim through my money like Scrooge McDuck, you know? And I'm like, I want to swim through my money like Scrooge McDuck, but I know that I have this bigger goal.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always 100 million. First, it was, you know, I wanted to have a 7-figure business. Then I did that. Then I was like, okay, let's see if we can get to 10 million. Then I was like, wow, we did that. You know, that one shocked me.
How do you set these number goals? Because they're big and they're like audacious. You just like think of one and you're like, that feels good.
I like goals that scare the hell out of me. I like goals that are like, how in the hell am I going to do that? I write about it in my book, like having a BHAG, which is a big, hairy, audacious goal, right? Like people actually, if your goals are too small, you get bored. You don't have the motivation to actually accomplish them because they're very accomplishable.
And you're just not thinking big enough.
You're not thinking big enough.
To your point, you think totally differently.
Yes.
Like if you said, Tara, how are you going to make apps without code a $1 billion business?
Yes.
You are totally different. Not thinking the same way that you think about it now.
Yes, exactly. So it stretches you. It forces you to be creative and like come up with solutions and be like, okay, so if I were to do that. And then if you have no idea, the first step is you go find someone who's done it and you go talk to them and then you'll get a next step and you take that step. And then that step leads to the next step, right? So you just have to have the courage to take the next step.
Yeah.
And then it happens. And then you're like, okay, so now we've had a $10 million business. I can see the impact that we've had. I'm very comfortable financially. So like, I'm not solely motivated by just putting more money in my bank account because it's like, that's not exciting. Like, I want it to be there for like future generations and for like foundations and all kinds of things that I want to fund. But I'm like, I don't really need anything anymore. So like, that's not motivational enough for me. But the real reason why I want to do it, and I think this is the key, it's like having a why and then having a goal that's exciting that like gets you hype and is like, it wouldn't it be amazing if we were to figure that out? Like, it would blow my mind if we were able to accomplish that. So that's why that's the goal.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And then for me, part of the why is, like, I just want to leave the pathway, right? So I want to do it so that other Black women, other people of color are like, oh, well, Rachel Rogers did it, so, like, clearly I can do it too.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
You know what's funny is two things. When you came in the room this morning, larger than life energy immediately. The energy in the whole place just shifted. And I was like, oh my God. Like, because I read your book.
Yes.
And when you talk about doing things that kind of give other women permission and show that it's possible and you like build this expansive mindset for people, you're the reason that I outsourced cleaning and cooking for like a year. I now cook for fun, but I mean, you were the person that I was like, oh, well, if she can do it, I can do that too. Like all of the limiting beliefs that I have about why I should not be doing these things, I now see them in a completely different light. So it's just so fun to get to sit next to you and talk to you about this and hear the mentality behind it as someone that has been on the receiving end of it.
Yes.
It's just wild.
Love that.
But I want to ask you about these big goals and striving now that you're like, okay, well, we did 7, we did 8, like, let's now go for 9.
Yes.
This stuff doesn't happen overnight.
No.
And it's like that it's a marathon, not a sprint. I'm worried about like, how do you pace yourself?
Yes.
How do you take care of yourself? How do you kind of, you know, prioritize endurance yes. over just like running yourself into the ground?
Yes. Well, I had to learn this, okay? Because yeah. I definitely was a team run yourself into the ground because yeah. that's all that was shown to us.
Yeah.
Because everything was always like young white guys with no kids who are just like, you know, working 18-hour days every
powering
day.
Powering through.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the model. And it's like, you got to wear a t-shirt and jeans and sneakers and like, and just be at your laptop all the time.
Yeah. And also they'll be like, I have 6 kids in an 8-figure business and here's how I do it. And it's like, spoiler alert, he has a stay-at-home wife.
Hello.
He has a woman behind the scenes making all of this possible.
And it's like, please stop writing that post. No one wants to read it. So we know the secret.
Yeah. We know your secret. We know the secret
it's
already.
Us, okay? It's women. So
you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Secret's us. Yes.
Yes. I've actually forgotten where we were going.
It's all good. We were talking about courage.
Couldn't help myself. Yes, like the marathon. Yeah.
Yes,
how are
yes,
you
the marathon.
Versus
marathon. Sorry.
Grinding into the ground.
I just started yes. thinking of the like bro-y guys and I got distracted.
Started just giggling.
But the marathon. So remember, part of my marathon too is I have 4 children. Okay. So ooh. I've been popping out babies while building. And it's like all of it. And it's not like I designed my life like, let's have 1,000 children yeah. so that everyone knows they can do it while having kids. No, it's just what happened.
Yeah.
And it didn't, my dreams don't go away because I have children. And to me, like that actually made me more motivated to accomplish them because I know they're watching me. Mm. And I want them to have whatever dreams that they have, whether they're big or small, like it's up to them. But whatever their dreams are, I want them to feel like they can do it. And I want them to see a model and a pathway. Literally, I had a conversation with my son this morning. I called them. They were at school, like having breakfast at school with their dad. And my son's like, I wish I wasn't at school today. And I'm like, why? And he's like, I just want to lay around and chill, you know? And I was like, okay.
King, like tiny king.
I mean, he is an introvert Taurus. Like yeah. he is just like, he's in his pajamas by 4:30 every oh. day. He's like, I'm going to take a bath and put on my pajamas. And it's like little oh. British pajamas. Anyway, So I'm talking to him and I was like, okay, so, you know, when you get older, you can create whatever lifestyle you want. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to pay people to work for me and do the work that I don't want to do. And I was like, great. Cool. I love that plan. How are you going to make the money to pay them? Because you got to pay them. So that's an important part of it. And he's like, okay, so here's my game plan. I'm going to work a bunch of jobs. I'm going to learn some things. And then I'm going to start a business. And then once that business is making enough money, I'm going to take some of that money and I'm going to pay people. And I was like, great. I love this plan. And guess what? I'm your mother.
Yeah.
So I'm going to coach you and you're going to have a business that's profitable very quickly.
Oh
and he was like,
gosh.
Awesome. I'm like, great. Now go to school. And then when we get to that, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But he already has that mentality because he's been watching me.
Because he sees it. Because
yes.
we just unconsciously play out these patterns. I cannot imagine having a parent that would have that conversation. You know what I was told? It was, that's too damn bad. You better go back to school. You want to lay
yeah.
around? Well, guess what? You got homework to do. You got to go clean the kitchen. Like,
your parents give you what they know.
Yes.
Right? And as we then gather more knowledge about yeah. what it looks like to be a high performer in the world, we just share what we know.
Yes.
It's a multi-generational thing.
It's true. Yeah. Right. Because money is not the only thing you're leaving to your kids, right? Like, the mindset, the mentality, that's a huge part of what
yeah.
you're leaving to your kids. So I'm like, what do I want to leave to my children? And whatever I want for them, I better do it for myself.
This kid's yeah. getting free coaching.
That's
it's
the only
amazing.
Way they're going to get it.
Yeah.
Your
yes.
kids are great. So we were talking about like sprints.
Yes.
And one of the
Wait a minute. Can
yeah.
I answer that question about the marathons
please.
Though? Because I do think it's important.
Mm.
Sorry. I digressed with all the
no,
kids stuff.
It's good.
But I do want to say I used to go hard because I thought that was the only way because that's what's modeled for us. Work
yeah.
hard and that's
yeah.
what will make you money. That is not what makes you money. Risk makes you money. Taking risks is how you make money, right?
Mm.
So buying assets is taking a risk. Building a business is taking a risk. Like betting on your talent, like as an influencer or anything that you want to do, it's taking risks and putting yourself out there is actually what leads to wealth, not hard work. Because there's plenty of hardworking people who don't have wealth.
Yep.
So
100%.
It's clearly that's
it
the case.
That.
Right. So what I do is take care of myself so that I'm in a position to take the risks that are presented to me or to go after risks that are in my mind to do. So I like get up early and I work out and I have time to myself and I make sure I have rest time. I do not work at night. I do not work on weekends and haven't for years, you know? So like taking care of yourself and making sure your mental space is in a good place, mm-hmm. that you have good relationships with your people, all of that is feeding you so that you have a really strong foundation. And then when you have that, then you can go out there and take risks because you know you can always run back to your foundation and you're safe.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, it makes it feel easier to take risks because you have people who love you. Even if the whole world is talking crap and hates you, you know you have people who love you who got you. And then also, you're just in a better place when you like have movement and have like mental space and downtime and you kiki with your friends. Like, all of that is an important part of being a well-rounded, healthy person. And then I actually think from a healthy place, which we can accomplish is so much more.
Yeah.
Like, if I would have came up in here tired and running my business like 18-hour days, I would have been bedraggled, right?
Bedraggled.
Like, just making up
draggled
words.
Is a good word.
Draggled. That's one of my favorite words, bedraggled.
I love
that. Is that a real word?
It is a real word.
Is it? Oh, I thought we were truly
making it up. Like, you're just tired.
You're just worn out. And looking
bedraggled.
Yes, like you have just been worn out down to the bone. And I know that feeling. Yeah. I've been there. And when I was building my business and I had two young babies under two, I was there, but it didn't last forever. And even then, I was getting my 8 hours of sleep, y'all. I don't know these people that do 4 hours. Like, that ain't my life.
Yeah, never been. You know what's so wild, too, is my coach that I've been working with said this to me the other day, because she's trying to get me to have that mindset. And I'll be like, but it's a Tuesday. We have to work 10 hours on a Tuesday. Like, look at the calendar. There are meetings on it. And she goes...
You acting that out was so good.
I enjoyed that so much.
Yeah. She shows up, she busts down the door, she kicks it in, and she's like, listen, bitch, we got a to-do list. And I'm like, okay, I know. That's my...
Does she have a name, your inner voice that does
clipboard
that?
Clipboard Katie. Yeah, Clipboard Katie.
Clipboard Katie
named her.
Is
she's
not
the one
a nice
that stomps
boss.
And she's like... Listen to me. But so she told me the other day something so interesting that totally jives with what you're saying, which is like, your job is to channel the creativity that you have been given.
Yes.
And it's only going to come through you if you're in that aligned, relaxed, grounded space.
Yes.
And every time you get like this and you're grasping and you've got the clipboard and you're banging it on, she's like, you're just blocking that channel.
Literally.
And then you're straining, you're like, why isn't anything coming through? So she was like, your only job is to get yourself into that place to where that work and those ideas and all of that just effortlessly falls out of you.
Exactly.
Which is a completely different mentality than like...
That's flow state, right?
Flow
being
state.
In flow.
Yes.
And then you can have these little like sprints of courage. Like, I do these little like courage sprint activities for myself. So I'm like, okay, today, for these few hours, we're just going to do the thing. You don't get to be scared about it. Like, just sit down.
Yes.
So I've been like, for example, with Apps Without Code, I'm expanding a new line of business where we do like workshops and content that we do internally with other businesses. So it's more B2B.
Yes.
And on Monday is my courage sprint day.
I love it.
So courage sprint, I sit down for a few hours, send out new pitches, send out new emails. Like,
love
don't get to,
it.
Don't get to second guess it. It's courage sprint day.
So good. Is it on your calendar?
It's not on my calendar, but I just know on Monday, I don't have a bunch of stuff on my calendar.
Yes.
That's the day where we're doing this.
Yes.
And then also sometimes my boyfriend will like nicely, he's not doing it intentionally, but like helpfully shame me a little bit into courage. Because I'll be like, here's all the things of like why I can't do it. And like, I'm trying to explain. He's like, it sounds like you just complaining. Like, you sound like you're being a baby. Just
he's, like, he's like, I heard all that, but it's courage sprint day.
Yeah, so he's good at keeping
it. Really don't matter.
It don't matter. Get your courage sprint. Did you get it done? Okay, I'll talk to you when you're done, which is helpful.
Yes, I love that. Accountability.
Yeah.
That is such an important part. But yes, flow state, just getting the courage for a short period of time. And the thing is, when you are, if you do all the things that might feel annoying, like taking the time to take care of yourself, checking in with friends, doing all the things that make you feel good, when you actually do the work is so much smaller. Because like I wrote a keynote to like the keynote that I told y'all about. I wrote that in like 20 minutes because I was in my zone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
right out.
Yes. Sometimes you do have to power through. I mean, I had to write a whole book and there were not every day I was not in my zone. Sometimes I had to learn how to manufacture getting into my zone, which was walking and like just like doing that morning routine that kind of gets me into that flow state. And then I know I can do it. And some days I had to power through and those days suck. Like, I'm not saying every day is going to happen, but when you do allow yourself to like figure out, okay, what gets me, when do I feel in flow?
Yeah.
So how can I create more of that? You know, it's like sometimes it's just going out with my girlfriends for the night, having drinks, whatever, having fun, laughing hilariously, telling hilarious stories.
Yeah.
And then the next morning I'm like,
you got the energy again.
And then you got to notice that, like, oh, when this happens next, you know?
We'll be right back to the conversation after a quick break. Okay, back to the show. I want to ask you about something that you kind of brought up where you mentioned it in passing, but I actually think it's kind of something that whether people realize it or not, it's something they are afraid of and is like a block, which is you said maybe the whole internet hates me today. Everyone's talking shit.
Yes. Yes.
Like that is a block for me where I'm like, I don't want to say anything wrong. I don't want anyone to be mad at me. And I'm actually really curious what your experience with that has been and yes. how you have moved past that to where you're genuinely in a place of, I don't care. I yes. just genuinely don't care.
Yes. Well, honestly, one of the best things that ever happened to me early in my career, this was like 2011. I literally was an entrepreneur for 1 year. I was building a law practice and I had a virtual law office, which was brand new then. It was like a totally like no one's ever heard of it thing. And you know, lawyers are just not known as being early adopters to anything. So they're like, you're breaking the law. Or you're not following the bar rules or blah, 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 professional rules of content, blah, blah, blah. Right. And of course, I called everybody and did all my due diligence to make sure I was on point and following all the rules. But they still talked crap about me anyway. And then they were like, who are you to start a law practice right out of law school? Like just all the hateration. But it's older lawyers that have like, they've had blogs for, you know, a millennia, right? And so if you Google, like they're gonna, so when you Googled my name, it was the first thing that came up.
Yeah.
And so, and you know, on Twitter, like my lawyer community, everybody was talking about it. And, you know, they wrote whole blog posts to just basically say that I was unethical and just horrible things that they said about me. Mind you, I've never talked to these people ever in my life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So like being sort of taken down, you know what I mean, by this group of people was one of the best things that ever happened to me early in my career because I had to learn how to get through it.
Yeah.
And
build confidence in you?
100%. Yeah. Exactly. So like my response to that was I read Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail.
Yeah.
It's basically him responding to his haters.
Really?
It is literally a case study in how to respond to your haters. And so I literally took that letter and then I used it as a template and wrote a response using that same sort of like, what did he do in this paragraph? Okay, I'm gonna do
it's
that.
A good ChatGPT prompt.
Yes, exactly. Correct. And so I wrote a response and stood up from, at first I laid on the couch for several days crying.
Right.
And my husband was like, get your ass up.
Yeah.
Right? He was like, I know you're not gonna let a bunch of old white guys stop you from doing what you're trying to do.
I know.
And I was like, shut up, you know? And then I got over
it. That made me sad.
Yes. And then I wrote my response. And what happened is all these younger lawyers who agreed with me, like I found my people. And then I discovered like, oh, these people hate me, but these people love me.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, and that's not the only time. There have been so many different times throughout my career in like 13, 14 years of being on the internet that people have said horrible things about me or lied about me or whatever. And I'm just like, who cares? It's kind of like, have you seen that SNL when Issa Rae was on SNL?
Yeah.
She did that cold open. And she did something like this where she had her phone and she was like, oh my God, people are saying this and this and this about me. And then she's like, oh, wait. And she just threw it. And she was like, oh, look, now I'm fine.
Yeah,
and
I'm fine.
Exactly. It's like when it happens to you and people talk about you and you just continue on, you're like, oh, all these horrible things of people being canceled. Like, if you think about it, most people, unless they did something egregious, they usually aren't actually canceled. It's just a group of people no longer mess with them and other people probably still mess with them.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. But it's just, I don't actually think about what are the people of the internet going to say about me if I say this thing.
Yeah.
I don't think about that at all. I just say what I want to say.
That's gross.
I want to talk about like things, like activities that both of you guys do to like build your courage and confidence.
Yes.
Like I know for me, like fashion is an area that is specifically like, I don't just dress up in cool outfits just because it's a tool. It's like a personal practice.
Yes.
By the way, speaking of personal practice, I have, if you're listening to this and you can't see me, I'm wearing like this gold Zulu hat.
Yes.
Which is heavy.
But it looks fabulous.
It's heavy. And also, I gotta take this off. It's so heavy. I had to like, ugh, or move it, something. But really, like, dressing up, like, has really helped me master my confidence because there's a voice in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice is like, you're doing too much. That's not going to fit in. No one's going to like that. That's kind of weird. And it just goes nuts. Like this voice just goes raging. And so I had to practice. I was like, I had to figure out a way. And it's not just with fashion. That voice comes with like a business deal, like everything. Like she's loud and she's annoying.
Mm.
I need to give her a name. Like
I want to slap her personally.
Mm. So you're the person in my life who often does slap her. And I come in with this story and you listen very nicely. And then you're like, yeah, no.
Nah. That's usually my response.
Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna charge the price. We're gonna do the thing.
Yes.
Like, and you, like, you're very good at, like, helping me externally quiet her, but I have to build my own practice of getting her more quiet. And for me, like, one of those things that I was like, okay, here's what I can do is just do the opposite of what she says.
Yes.
Ooh, so she so says, good. If she says you're doing too much, wear the crazy hat.
Yep.
I'm doing too much.
I love it.
It's too much. So
deal with it.
And for me, like, that practice of doing that over and over again, that voice has gotten quiet. And, like, fashion has been, like, a good grounding zone for me to do
this.
With fashion, like, people care a lot about social conformity.
Yes, they do.
Right.
In every way. Fashion and everything else, too. But it's the first thing because you see it. It's visual.
You see it. And it's, like, it's upsetting to people if it doesn't, like, fit into a box of something.
Yes.
And so, for me, it's been a good playground to do that. So, I'm curious if you, either of you guys, maybe Rachel, you can go first. Like, are there any tools you do for yourself to, like, crank your confidence?
Yes. Well, I love that. And I think I'm kind of rebellious like that too, where I'm just like, oh, they said I couldn't do it, or you're in my head telling me I can't do it. Now I'm going to go do exactly that because I'm a rebellious person.
Watch me.
Because it's part of my identity that I don't conform.
Yeah.
That I do what's right for me.
That's, like, interesting.
That's literally... That's who I am as a person.
I think this is why we're friends.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. This is exactly why we're friends. And so I'm like, okay, so is that you or is that them? Like, the infamous them. So I have to ask that question. But another thing that I do, which is really just a coaching tool, is to say, okay, so Clipboard Katie says you have to work. So then I'll ask you, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
It's true that you have to work?
Oh, I see. No, no. Well, maybe.
Who answered when you said no, and then who answered when you said maybe?
Now that's a good question.
Yeah,
I think my initial instinct was no, and then she was like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Yes,
she came up and she was like, "Yes, you do."
Right. So no, you don't have to work. So what evidence do you have to show that that's not true? Right, that you don't actually have to work.
That my needs are met and my deadlines are arbitrary.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, if we're being totally honest.
Yes. And can you think of a time where you didn't work and then suddenly you made money?
Yeah.
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 Mm. And so this is what I do with people. It's like, okay, so you believe this thing. Is it true? Sometimes they'll say, no, it actually isn't true. And I'm like, okay, great. Now let's make a list of, like, 25 pieces of evidence that it's not true.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, stories from your life, other people who are doing it, whatever it is. So what you're doing is, like, building the neural pathway in your brain that makes it possible for you to believe it.
Mm. I just want to highlight this as well, because this is something that I think there's two pieces of this. There's the conscious awareness that you have this tendency.
Yes.
And then there's the subconscious belief.
Yes.
And I think we so often, when I recognized this in myself, this tendency to feel as though in order to be worthy, I had to be constantly productive. I noticed it was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't really want to do that anymore. But it has taken truly years.
Yes.
Past the point of becoming aware to actually shift the subconscious beliefs.
Correct.
Underneath it. It's taken a lot of work. It's taken it's frustrating because I'm like, I know this is a problem. So why can't I do anything about it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the awareness is not enough.
It's not
enough.
Because
that's just the surface thing.
Right.
It's just like, okay, I'm aware that that's true.
Mm.
That's why you have to collect evidence.
Yes.
And then you make that a practice. Like, every day I'm collecting more evidence. And then you have to try it. You have to be like, okay,
experiment with
I'm just going to blow all my meetings and cancel everything today and see what happens.
Yeah.
Did you die?
Yeah, exactly. Did you die? Did money just show up? Like,
right.
Then you start to notice. Like, I started to notice every time I went on vacation, I would just have a flood of money show up. And I'd be like, what? Stop playing. And it was like the universe being like, okay, you're taking the risk and I'm going to give you a little something to just let you know you're on the right path. It's like a sign to show you, yes, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Mm-hmm. This is a concept I think most people are going to struggle with when they hear this. Like,
really?
You could just do nothing and money will come.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is something.
Because there's a belief that you have to constantly be working and you have to unpack that belief. Just because it's strongly held doesn't make it true. Okay. Just because you feel passionate about it, it does not make it true. So it's like, when people are like, well, I have a really hard time believing that. okay, I don't care. That does not change my answer in any way, shape, or form.
I know. I love this. But this is, like, what I love about this show is, like, you kind of just get to, like, hear how entrepreneurs talk to each other.
Yeah.
And what you just said, right, was something that, like, we would totally say to each other. I would say that to Katie. Katie would say it to me. I would say it to you about, like, oh, yeah, and, like, I went on vacation, and, like, it just came. And, like, the other person would respond and be like, yeah, it works that way.
Yes.
And there's, like, a common understanding of that, of, like, high-performing entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurship, but when you're starting,
yes,
that feels like it is not true. If I don't go to the yeah. job, I will not get them. Like it yeah. really doesn't even compute.
Let yes. me give you an example of this that is so resonant right now. When I started Money with Katie, I was trying to get a business credit card. And I wasn't trying to get a business credit card because I was anticipating having business expenses. I just wanted the points. And I was like, well, I got an LLC now, so yeah. let me give me some points. So I'm on the phone with the rep because they were like, we need to ask you more questions about this business before we extend you this line of credit. So I'm like, hello? And they're asking me, what is your anticipated revenue per month? And I remember going, I don't know, like $1,000, $2,000. And at the time going, how the hell am I ever going to make $1,000 or $2,000 wow. from this? Like, I was yeah. lying through my teeth. To
and I love
that. And they denied it. They go, yeah, no, that's okay. Maybe come back in a little bit. But I was like, I had no, it was so like unconscionable to me that that would be a thing. Fast forward, like, a year and a half, maybe, things had already been progressing. And I went to Tulum with my friends. Mm-hmm. And that day on the beach, I had my like Squarespace purchase notifications turned on. And I made like $2,000 that day yes. while I was at the beach. Things that I yeah. had built and were yes. selling on my site that were just selling with no effort for me. I'm like posting from this beach chair on vacation, making that $2,000 that yes. a year and a half prior, I was like,
yeah.
how would I, in a whole month?
Yeah.
I only get a month to make $1,000?
Yeah.
How is that going to work? Like,
and I think the nuance here is not that you didn't work at all in between that time period. You did take like sprints of like putting yourself out
there. Oh, I did a ton of work to get to that point. It's yeah. not like no work was done at all.
Yes.
But like, but that money showed up irrelevant of what yes, I was doing.
But it was strategic, right? It yeah. was strategic. There was risk-taking involved to build something, put it out there that people might reject and be like, who she thinks she is mm-hmm. to put this out there. But you did it anyway, and that brought you the money. But so it's still connected to that risk, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It goes back to what you were saying, though, about, like, well, what would you say? You're like, people make money not from, like, hard work, but from courage.
From risk. Taking risk.
Right. And I think the distinction here is not that, like, if you go from a mindset of, like, I have to work a bunch to make money for it to just, oh, it just showed up. That requires yes. working. To it just requires, like, a couple good risk moments.
Yes. Mm. Exactly.
And that's when it just feels like, oh, it just showed up. You didn't work hard. You mm-hmm. just, you had already laid the foundation for a couple like risk courage moments where you're mm-hmm. like, I did a thing. And that accumulates to like, wait a minute, I closed the deal. I got the thing.
Exactly right. And what's so funny is like, it's almost like you're working, you're toiling just to discover what is the risk I need to take.
Yeah. It's like there's such a good investing, like analogy to be made here about yes. the fact that like 90% of your returns come from like 2 to 5% of your bets.
Yeah.
And like everything else is wasted. But unless you get that many shots on goal, you're not going to get the 2 to 5% yes. that's going to move.
It's like you got to get in the industry. You got to like immerse yourself in the world so you can discover what are the yes. risks that I need to take.
This is one of the things I love about you, though, because every time I talk to you, you're telling me about another shot you're taking. Like you're getting in the reps and you have ideas and like there's not a lot of time. Maybe you go home and like I don't see it and you spend like a small amount of time like, oh, I don't know, like I don't know if I'm going to do it. But it occurs to me that you pretty quickly get over that. And you're like, let's get in the gym and take shots.
Yeah, I want to know what your self-talk is like. Like, what is the noise in your head telling you? Do you feel like it's running you or the opposite? Have you noticed a change in your journey? Because you've been doing this for like, you know, 15 years.
Yes.
What has the change been? Have you observed that?
Well, when you said that, like, you know, with your clipboard, Katie, right? Yeah. And I don't know what your woman's called, but I want to slap her.
Who's your equivalent?
Yes. But like, I'm like, I don't have that. And you know I'm sure I do in the right circumstance. Like I lost a bunch of money on a bet that I made 2 years ago. Mm. And I was like, I noticed it like for maybe like a couple weeks. I noticed I would say like the word failure a lot. I was just saying failure all the time. And I was like, you got to stop saying that.
Yeah.
So like every time it would come up, I'd be like, no, that's not what it is. And I would change the word and like and reframe it. Yeah. But what it is that I think that I have been self-coaching in the way that I told you, which when I have this negative or limiting belief, I ask myself, is that true? And then I'll literally get out a pen and paper and be like, okay, let me write down all the possible reasons why it's not true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And let me show, like, write down all the evidence that I have that it's not true.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, I'm convinced, right? But this was a practice that I've been doing so often that, and it started back in like, I would say 2011, 2013, maybe in that range, because I had two kids, I was working, and just everything felt really hard. And I had, and I was such a mean girl in my head, like just talking about my appearance. Girl. I was saying all kinds of terrible things to myself about my business, about everything. Like nothing was good enough. And I discovered life coaching. And I discovered this coaching tool and I started doing it on a regular basis, like literally every day. I would even put notes and just be like, is that true? Or like put reframes of negative beliefs that I have all the time.
Tool?
Yes.
Is it true?
Yes. And then I would do like if I have a negative belief that I'm like, you know, that I'm ugly, right? Then I would like write something like, you're beautiful, right? Or something like that, just like something to reframe that thought, or like, I'm not where I wanna be, but I know I'm working to get there, right?
Yeah.
That's why it's all throughout my book is like these beliefs that we have and reframes of how to think about that differently, how to take that thought differently. So it's become such a practice for me that I don't even.
It's like second nature.
If I do have a mean girl in my head, listen, she quiet, cause she know, don't even come at me, okay?
You know what I
she
think?
She know
happens?
I'm gonna beat her ass.
Yeah, that you're not gonna listen to her.
You know what I'm saying? Like, don't even come out here with
none
of that.
I have seen you go through this. I think what's actually happening is you've just condensed the amount of time that it takes. So you're not in the mud for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's quick. I remember I was at a dinner with you once. We were at dinner.
Yes.
And something had fallen through. A shot
that was
took,
that was the one that I lost a bunch of money. Yes.
The shot that you took had just fallen through. And I remember distinctly, like, you were like, you were sad about it. I think you might have cried a little
bit.
Yes,
I did
cry. You were
crying.
And I remember I had to go to the restroom right when you were crying. I was like, dang, girl, like, not being a great friend, you had to go pee right when your friend is crying. I went to the restroom.
That is hilarious.
I went to the restroom and came back. And you were like, I got it out. I'm good now. Because you had condensed, a period of time. You went through the valley, came back out, and you were like, let me tell you about the next idea I got.
Yes. That was the end of that period where I was talking bad to myself.
Yeah.
And then y'all visited, we went to dinner, and I just cried and just let it out. And even as I was crying, I was saying, I'm sad that I lost this money. I'm sad that it didn't work out the way that this bet that I took didn't work out. But I'm proud of myself that I was willing to try it.
Yeah.
And I truly felt that in that moment. And I think I just had to have that release. And then literally I was over it.
Wow.
And then even there were times where my husband, he wasn't over it. And he tried to make me feel bad about it. And I was like, that's yesterday. It's gone. Let's move on.
We already cried. We
yeah.
got it out.
We're done.
Flushed out. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm also, you're not going to make me feel bad about it because I don't feel bad.
Yeah.
I'm betting on myself. I'm trusting myself. I'm believing in myself. Why would I feel bad about that?
So we have some folks who have written in.
Yes.
And they've shared with us some like things they're working through. And so we'd love to hear your thoughts on how to address things that folks are.
I can already tell this is going to be so good.
It's going to be so good. Okay. So we asked people
get ready.
We asked people about their fears and questions around entrepreneurship.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask, read the question from the audience. You answer it.
Okay.
Okay, so someone asked, I'm scared to leave a very well-paying W-2 job to start my own CFO advisory services.
Love it.
How do I overcome fear? I'm scared that not taking much and blowing, like I'm like not making much and kind of blowing my stability that I have.
Yes.
What do you say?
I say do this immediately. First of all, you got CFO skills? Like, you fine. Get out of here with that. Okay.
That's
listen,
true.
Let me tell you what. This is what I would do. I would do the math on how much money do I need. So sometimes it's not like if your salary is 100,000, but what you actually take home is 6 and you live off of 6.
Yeah.
And then also you got to think about like, okay, I no longer have to commute. I no longer need to buy lunch. I no longer need a wardrobe for work.
Yeah.
Like what can you cut, right? Yeah. And so you can figure out, all right, how much exactly do I need? Like, what's my bare minimum to be, like, to get by? And not, like, to be destitute, right? To, like, just be able to maintain.
Baseline.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, maybe you're getting rid of some of your, like, fancy subscription boxes that you actually don't need, mm-hmm. right? For your dog or whatever nonsense, you know, that you're doing, right? Maybe you cut some of that. But for the most part, you keep your lifestyle the same. How much do you need to make? Mm-hmm. Let's say it's $10K a month. Okay, great. Now, for CFO services, who's your client going to be, right? And figure out who needs you, who needs your services. Then I would literally go out there even before you left the job, and I would go find people. I would email all the people that I know, like classmates, old professors, neighbors, your auntie's friends, your father's friends, whoever, right?
Yeah,
I literally,
real.
I would come up with a list of 100 people who already know who I am. I would email them and say, I'm starting a CFO advisory business. This is what I can do. These are the problems that I solve. This is who it's for. Please, if you could use my services, hire me. Or share it with at least one person.
Mm. Yeah.
That's how I started. Literally, that's all I did. And I had 3 clients from just sending that first email. And I think I sent postcards too, because it was the days of VistaPrint.
VistaPrint, yeah, I remember.
Shout
out to VistaPrint. So I sent like a postcard in the mail to all the same 100 list.
Yeah.
And they all wanted to help me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I asked for help and I was vulnerable. They all wanted to help me. And I got a bunch of clients from it. And from those clients, I got more clients and whatever. So like, it'd be like, okay, so if, let's say their services are going to be $2,000 a month. You need 5 clients. Okay, now go get those 5 clients. Now, once you have those 5 clients, quit the job.
Mm.
You know?
What do you say if they're worried about charging what feels like a lot, maybe at $2,000 a month?
Yes. I actually feel like that number is too low. I pay more than that for CFO services.
100%.
So, like, please understand.
How should you think about...
like, what I pay, you would only need... If you needed to make 100 grand, you'd need one client. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I was your client, you would not need any other clients, right? To just be able to quit your job.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing. It's like, maybe you want to go after larger businesses that value that service more. So, like, who values what you have to offer?
Yeah.
And talk to them. Because this is what they do. They talk to everybody. And some people don't value it because they don't need that service.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's not good. It means you're talking to the wrong... Stop talking to them. Right? Talk to the people who are desperate for what you have.
Yeah.
I just want to add one thing there too, which is I think when I went through this, somebody reframed it for me and they said, well, what's the worst case scenario?
Yeah.
And I said, the worst case scenario is that I fail and I have to go find a full-time job again. And they said, okay, well, you're already living your worst case scenario.
Yes.
You got the full-time job.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And you can always find a job you hate. Like, that's the easiest thing in the world is to find a job you hate. Right? Like,
so
you know what I mean?
It's like, you really can just go, okay,
yeah,
you're already in the
it's
bad
not working.
Thing.
I've got this resume. Let me put it out there and get another job I hate for a while. You know what I mean?
But
sometimes that's what it is.
I do love that you said get the 5 clients first,
because
I think that like there's a difference between taking a calculated risk and taking a foolish risk.
Hello, please say it again.
So you get the clients, you get the proof of concept, you start generating some income from it, and then it's like not that big of a leap.
Exactly. Yeah. It makes the leap shorter because you're more strategic about
it.
So yes, don't make foolish bets. Like, I think that is such an important distinction.
Yeah.
Not every risk is a risk worth taking.
No, but you can overlap it to kind of manage that.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so I have one more. Caitlin says, when do you know it's time to leave your full-time job for your side gig in terms of timing?
Yes. Timing should be whatever you want. Are you done with it? Do you hate your life? When you put on your pants in the morning as you're getting dressed, are you like, Lord God, help me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're in that place, get the hell out of there. Okay?
Mm.
Like, why are you making yourself miserable? You're not going to do your best work and you're not going to make the most money. And I will say, as an employer, I have a team of 25 full-time employees.
Wow.
If I had somebody working for me who, like, that's how they got out of bed and they were miserable, I'd be like, please, how can I help you find something else to do?
Yeah.
And I will replace you. Let's create a transition plan. You can even join the program and, like, learn how to build your own business or whatever. But, like, don't waste my time and your time by bringing this I hate this job energy to my workplace. Like, I don't want that in our culture. I want everybody to love what they're doing and be excited and hyped. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
Rachel, any last sort of advice or feedback you have for people who are just navigating like courage and bravery as an entrepreneur or as an intrapreneur and they're working at a job?
Yes. Yes. Some advice that I got from a lawyer when I was starting my first practice, and I was like a guru for this guy because he had like a book about how to start a law practice. So I'd like every time he was speaking, I would show up because I just wanted to learn everything that I could to like make this happen.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he said is, you may not be experienced, but you're qualified. So when you're starting your law practice, right, like I have a law degree, I passed the bar, I don't have years of experience that other people have, but I am qualified. I have the qualifications to do the job, right? So like that is something that I think helps people to be like, oh, I can do this. I'm qualified to do this, right? Like I did it in my old job. I don't have a ton of experience doing it for other people, but I'm qualified, you know? So just decide you're going to qualify yourself, you know? Don't be your own gatekeeper and prevent yourself from shooting your shot, you know? Like, and one of the things that one of the people, like the mentors in my head that I always look to is Madam C.J. Walker. She's the first woman millionaire in America, and she was a black woman.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, put some respect on it.
Respect on that name.
Exactly. During Reconstruction, she was born into slavery. Like, her she was the youngest in her family. She was the only one that was not born into slavery. And in that environment, she built a business and became a millionaire. And she charged for her services.
Yeah.
She charged, I did the math on this. I can't remember exactly what it was, but like her clients had to pay something like 30% of their salary to buy her products. And she charged it anyway.
Yeah.
And guess what? It helped them. And then she was hiring them. And basically she created a whole new career path for black women back then.
Like created a whole economy.
Yes.
A whole economy. That's wild.
None of which would have been possible if she hadn't done it. She also like was into politics and was giving money to the NAACP and all of these things, right?
Yeah.
Advancing the state of black people in society. But if she wouldn't have bet on herself on day one, it wouldn't have happened. She did not have the internet. She did not have this podcast. She did not have all of these things that we now have. Like, there are no excuses left, my friends. Just get out there and do it, or don't. Like, shit or get off the pot is my advice.
I want to literally leave us here because these are the kinds of pep talks
powerful.
That you give me, that you give the rest of our friends, where like you get fed up, you listen for a minute, you're fed up, and you're like, okay, we're going to do it or not. Are we doing it? What are we doing? And like, it's useful. If you don't have a friend in your life like that, let Rachel, as you listen to it, be the friend in your ear right now, giving you the pep talk.
Yes.
Right. We're about taking risks.
Yes.
And making bets on yourself.
Yes.
And you said something that I just want to wrap up with, which was like, qualify yourself.
Yes.
Qualify yourself. I'm going to remember that. I'm writing that down for myself.
I love it.
That is all for this week's episode of Bossy. Big, big, huge thank you to Rachel Rogers for joining us today. That was so much fun. Could truly talk to you for hours. So
for
thank you for making the time. And thank you for listening at home. And we will see you next week right here on Bossy.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.